All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 78 of American Vindicta. It is March 10th, 2022. And boy, do we have some news for you. Let's go ahead and just get on with this. It's coming from the Epoch Times. Kevin Hogan wrote this report. White House warns of Russian chemical attack on Ukraine. The latest Ukraine-Russia talks yield no breakthrough. The White House is warning that Russia may use chemical or biological weapons against Ukraine, and the House of Representatives approved a spending package that would provide $13.6 billion in aid to Ukraine. Does that not bother anybody else? These speculations? You know what that makes me think? That once again, as I've been saying, something is going to be introduced into Ukraine. Be it either organic or artificial, an event is going to happen in Ukraine that is going to force the United States and the United Nations or NATO to have to put boots on the ground in Ukraine to close down the sky over Ukraine, and Putin will probably consider that an act of war. Now, he already says that it's an act of economic war by us shutting down the pipeline. Putin even said that Russia is not the one to be blamed for, outrageous gas prices. And you know what? Once again, I kind of don't want to keep admitting this, but Putin's right. Just like how he said there's Nazis in Ukraine. Well, he's also right about the oil. Joe Biden and his administration and the rest of the ilk in the Democratic Party and the Republicans alike are to blame for everything we see happening in our economy. But Joe Biden says it's your fault. It's your fault for buying too much. Whatever he claims that we need to be buying. It's our fault. It's never the fault of the Democrats. Well, we got some more news. This is from Jack Posobiec. If you don't know who Jack Posobiec is, you should be following Jack Posobiec. Let's go ahead and read this article from the postmillennial.com. It's called Jack Posobiec Digs Into the, quote, Information War About Ukraine Biolabs. They were popping up these biolabs with U.S. funding in order to control or put a lock on the Soviet bioweapons program. We're going to learn more about this as it comes. there's so much disinformation. It's hard to see where actual information comes from, but I go out on a limb by saying this, but I trust what Jack Posobiec says. So, Human Events Daily podcast host Jack Posobiec dug into the narratives and information war being fought around the biolabs in Ukraine and concern from the U.S. that these facilities could fall into Russian hands. The Undersecretary of the State of the United States of America, Victoria Nuland, came out publicly and stated that the United States is working with Ukraine to prevent bioresearch facilities from falling into Russian hands. That's what Jack Posobiec said on a testimony Tuesday. He said that Nuland had concern and trepidation in her voice when testifying to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. So, let's hear what that really sounded like. This is a tweet from Politico. Said, does Ukraine have bioweapons? Marco Rubio asked Victoria Nuland, Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs, who is inexplicably cannot give a straight answer. I can't wait to see what the fact checks say about this one, but here, let's have a listen.
Does Ukraine have chemical or biological weapons?
Ukraine has biological research facilities, which, in fact, we are now quite concerned Russian troops, Russian forces may be seeking to gain control of. So we are working with the Ukrainians on how they can prevent any of those research materials from falling into the hands of Russian forces should they approach.
Ah. Right out of the liar's mouth. Well, the question was, does Ukraine have chemical or biological weapons? And notice how she sidesteps this. She doesn't say yes or no. She says Ukraine has, and she's being very careful with her words, biological research facilities. The very next sentence that she says is, we're very concerned that Russian troops and Russian forces may be seeking to control them. Well, yeah, something tells me that that's not just Pepto-Bismol and ibuprofen that are in these facilities, says Jack Posobiec. He then went into detail on how the program was started by senators, including then Illinois Senator Barack Obama, by the U.S. to go into former Soviet countries. They were popping up these biolabs with U.S. funding in order to control or put a lock on the Soviet bioweapons program, says Posobiec. We know that the Soviet bioweapons program, which is largely based in Kazakhstan, but also had multiple nodes around all these countries, had some of the most extensive pathogen development and bioweapon development in the world. Russian disinformation and Russian propaganda has been saying for years that these are active bioweapons programs, but the United States comes out and says, no, 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 these are purely for research purposes. We're just making sure that everything's taken care of. But there's a problem with that. The problem with that is one word, two syllables, Wuhan. They told us that everything that was going on in Wuhan was done for primarily medical research, and we're going to keep people safe. If there's ever a coronavirus outbreak, we're going to have the treatments ready. Yeah, they didn't have any of those treatments ready, and then nobody even told us the truth. That's the end of the article. I think that's a very telling article. Let's find some other stuff about this, shall we? All right, here we go. Department of State. This is their official statement on Twitter. Fact. In bold letters, fact. The United States does not have chemical and biological weapons labs in Ukraine. It states that the U.S. is in full compliance with its obligations under the Biological Weapons Convention and does not develop or possess chemical and biological weapons anywhere. Huh. What a bunch of liars. This is the type of stuff we have to deal with. We have to deal with this mainly because there's a war going on out there in between factions of people. New World Order elites versus themselves. Oligarchs versus, you know, whomever. And we're being caught in the middle of it. There is a plan for total depopulation. That's widespread known by now. But once again, let's connect some dots. Here we go. Facts. The Chinese biological lab in Wuhan is owned by a company named Glaxo. G-L-A-X-O. Glaxo owns Pfizer. Pfizer manufactures the jab. Pfizer is liquidating all of their assets in the stock market. Pfizer is operated by BlackRock, who manages Soros Open Foundation Company, a.k.a. the Soros, George Soros Foundation. Wait, it gets better. Soros also owns Winterthur, the German company who built the Wuhan lab and is affiliated with the German Alliance. The German Alliance counts Vanguard as one of its own most valued shareholders. Who is Vanguard? Vanguard is also a large shareholder of BlackRock, who, wait for it, controls the central banks and manages roughly one-third of the global investment capital. Bill Gates is also a major stockholder in BlackRock. He holds a large percentage of shares in Pfizer, which, again, manufactures the vaccines. Is it coming together yet? Those are great Twitter posts. I don't know who posted that on Twitter, but you're fantastic. So that is that's what we're dealing with. Oh, and not to mention, we're also funding Nazis. You know, people just don't know their history. When we talk about Nazis, and where did they go? Well, obviously, they went to Ukraine, but they went to other places. And just as a little pick back up into history, let's review real quickly who were some famous Nazis after the war. Wernher von Braun, head of NASA. Walter Hallstein, head of the European Commission. Adolf Hussinger, NATO's chief of staff. Kurt Waldheim, Secretary General of the United Nations. The Nazis didn't go anywhere, folks. They just found another place to hide and take over. Real quick, I found some tips for the impending gas prices that are going to continue to rise and plague us as long as we have liberals and Democrats in power. Here's some tips to save on gas. Check your tires. Make sure you have good tires that aren't worn out and that they need to be rotated. Reduce your speed while driving. Don't drive excessively fast. Avoid lots of starts and stops. Get rid of extra weight inside your vehicle. And don't vote for Democrats. Yay, don't vote for Democrats. Here's a little thing that pissed me off earlier today. And then we're going to go to a break. Joe Biden and his administration says it's our fault for driving cars that have fossil fuels, but yet the technology that's out there to give us electric vehicles is a very small, narrow group of creators like Elon Musk and Tesla, the best cars out there when it comes to electric vehicles. The most affordable. But here's the problem, is even though Tesla is setting up all the different places around the nation to be able to charge it, it's still costly, it's still complicated, and the infrastructure is not fully there yet. And I do support Elon Musk and Tesla. I had Tesla stock for a while until I sold it. And I made billions and billions. No, I'm joking. I didn't make billions. But I do support the research that Elon Musk is in, and I do think that, you know, eventually electric cars are the future. However, in the 2000s, we were also supposed to have flying vehicles like George Jetson, but, you know, we got disappointed on that one. What I think is interesting is that even though the technology is there, I am still very wary of the AI portion of that technology. Anytime I hear artificial intelligence, I think of the movie Terminator, and then I just say, no, I don't agree with it. I don't want AI. One thing I do find also concerning is that we are so easily hamstrung by fossil fuels, but it takes fossil fuel factories to make the batteries for the cars, to make the solar panels. All these petroleum products that make a generous proportion of everything that you have in your home, to include your shoes, your belts, your belt buckle, your pants, a lot of the food that you eat, you know, the processing units, they all come from petroleum products. Or the needs to have the petroleum products to run the machinery. So we are very far away from getting away from fossil fuels. And I don't think, you know, maybe the in-town cars and the motorcycles, they can have the fossil fuels and, you know, probably do very well. But for, you know, the rest of the nation that doesn't make $100,000+ a year and can willfully spend that amount of money on an extremely expensive car, you know, it's not for us. It really isn't. And just look at your average car now. Your average car now is $20,000 more than it was when I was in high school. So, you know, the economy is crashing, no matter what the economists say. I view the economy as crashing. Prices on everything are going up, but yet your hourly wage hasn't gone up, unless you have a cost of value increase for your standard of living. But that's only if you work for the state or the government. The average house doesn't have that. The average house has to work two or three jobs, odd and end jobs, just to make do with pay. So it's a hard time for economy. And then to have these sniveling, greedy people, and I say these words because I can't say other words because I'm on the radio, and don't think I don't say them. I get mad enough to sit here and cuss at myself. So, you know, like I said, I'm not the greatest Christian in the world, but I'm trying. But these people in the White House, who the audacity, the just hypocrisy of these people. Well, here, let's just hear what this fine individual has to say.
I mean, we obviously are all in on making sure that we meet the president's goals of getting to 100% clean electricity by 2035 and net zero carbon emissions by 2050. And, you know, if you drive an electric car, this would not be affecting you, clearly.
Ha ha. If you drive an electric car, this wouldn't affect you, clearly. Says the woman who probably has the government take-home vehicle that is electric, that she gets to charge every day at her federal building on your dime. But yet, then she gets to laugh and say, well, if you peasants would at least get rid of your fossil fuel vehicles and do what us, upstanding rich people do and buy the electric vehicle, well, then you'd be better for it. The rich people aren't buying the electric vehicles either, by the way. You know, if you are involved in anything like me and you need horsepower and torque for towing vehicles, for towing trailers and equipment, you know, eventually the electric vehicles will surpass that. But right now it's not there, and it's not affordable, and it's not reliable. My thing is, once again, is that if it's all so sensitive with this electric equipment, if we have a large CME or an EMP, what happens to the electrical systems of the car? I don't know definitively if the car will start or not. I know that the more I guess you could say, electric that vehicle is, the more easy it can be to hack the vehicle, and your vehicles are hackable. You know, there's just a lot of open-ended questions there. We don't have the infrastructure for our economy to support an entire electric car fleet of vehicles nationwide. So here's the other part. And she said that by 2035, Joe Biden's thing is that by 2035, we'd be on completely electric everything. Okay. I just find it interesting. Once again, God shocks me occasionally. Within the Wrecker Chronicles that I've been writing, that I'm eventually going to be doing the movies to produce, all by myself, by the way, and I have no idea what I'm doing, so I hope they turn out decent. Here's what's interesting, is I was given the number 2037 when I was praying about this. Like, you know, I was asking God, I was like, how am I even going to write a script? I'm a shooter. I'm not a writer. I don't know how to do this. And that was the year that was given to me, 2037. And in 2037 in the Wrecker Chronicles is when the 2030 agenda is full on. I said that the economy would more or less be broke. We'll have the beast system by then. The Antichrist and the false prophet. You know, those are speculatory, right? They're my take on what's going to happen in Revelation, but the mere fact that she says that by 2035, the goal is to have everything electric, the cities, the cars, that's part of the Great Reset. That's part of building back better. And that means everything that we have now has to be destroyed. What rises out of the ashes? That's what I ask you. If you have a good twist or perspective on how you view this, email me. Go to AmericanVindictusShow.com. Send me an email and tell me what you think. I'll read it and I'll correspond back with you. Many of you by now have seen that. And, you know, I don't know what other people on radio or podcasts do, but whenever I get a question, I answer it. Typically, you'll be surprised if I get a question, I'll answer it within, you know, 20, 30 minutes or the hour. You know, I pay attention to what the listeners of this show are saying to me because I value your opinion. You know, I value your opinion because as Americans, we need to speak to one another plainly, not hyperbolically. We don't need to be speaking in codes. We just need to, you know, get our opinions out there. And many of you who have emailed me, many of you who've shared content with me, is some great stuff that's out there. Really, it is. And I've used it in a lot of the shows so far. I've talked about it. Some of the stuff I'm still researching because I get a lot of emails now. And by the way, the YouTube channel is up. We will have another video uploaded before the end of the day. It's a special message that I have for police officers. I never got around to it yesterday, so I just made it its own video. We'll see. Maybe that'll be the one that gets me banned from YouTube. I don't plan on being on YouTube for very long. Let me say why. It's not that I don't want to be. It's that I'm not going to watch my mouth. I'm not going to walk on eggshells. I'm not going to, you know, stroke your hair and call you a pretty dog. I'm not that guy. I never have been. I always go against the grain. I always ask questions. And I'm not going to be bullied or intimidated, especially by YouTube. If YouTube takes my content down, I'll be on other platforms. Right now, I'm still in the midst of just trying to get YouTube working, but I'll eventually be on Rumble and BitChute and Brighteon and hopefully Truth Social if President Trump will have me. And if you want to see American Vindicta on Truth Social, let them know. let them know, because my goal is to smash the competition, you know. And I do say competition. We are in competition with other people. There are plenty of places out there that are the left-wing crazies that are stirring the pot, giving you, you know, just disinformation left and right. And that's who we're in competition with. I'm in no competition with the conservatives. There may be people out there who I disagree with, but I'll always, you know, willfully hear them out. But I'm not in competition with our movement. I'm in competition with the anti-conservative, anti-Christian, anti-American movement. I hope you are too. We're going to go to a quick break and we'll be right back.
The time for political correctness is in the rearview mirror. The fact is, the American dollar is on the verge of collapse. It's been abused mightily by those in power. Massive debt, massive inflation have left Americans with few options. Most think they have no choice but to ride it out with their money in the bank. And sadly, they're going to awaken one day and all that money is going to be gone. Do you have an option? The answer is yes. Precious metals. But knowing to go into precious metals is not the same thing as knowing who to go into precious metals with. We have an answer for you. It's called Renaissance Precious Metals. It's owned and operated by the famed Steve Quayle, radio talk show host, world famous, and an expert in precious metals. Been doing the work for 34 years. So whether you're interested in gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, whatever your interest is, wherever you want to land in your escape pod, this is it. Renaissance Precious Metals can be reached at 406-586-4842. Call Steve Quayle at 406-586-4842. You can also visit them online at sqmetals.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait. The collapse is underway. The time to act is now.
Okay, and we're back. Thank you for listening. This is American Vindicta. You can find American Vindicta on gsradio.net. We're now on at 6 p.m. Eastern, so right before the Doug Hagman show. Give your prayers and blessings to Doug. Please support his show. Steve Quayle has been hosting his show here and there. So let's, you know, give our admiration and support for Mr. Hagman. He does just truly wonderful things on that show. And he's really a good guy, an extremely intelligent guy. I don't have his books in front of me. I've read one of them. Yeah, dang it, I don't have it in front of me. But he has his own books that he's wrote. They are very, very eye-opening books. A little gory, if you're into that kind of thing. I am. You know, I like realism. And as a former law enforcement officer, I understand a lot of the things that he says and that he's going through in that book. And the late, great Russ Dizdar is a cameo of that book as well. So if you're interested, gosh, I don't have the name of it, but go to the Hagman Show, visit their website. You can promote his book, and my relatives drink their coffee that said it's really good. I haven't got around to doing it yet, so maybe I will. But that's a little bit of a throw of advertisement for Mr. Hagman. Now, KYAH Radio out of Utah has also picked us up. It's an AM station. We're going to be on there between 4 and 5 Mountain Time. So the podcast is growing. I started this in November. You know, I'm on GS Radio. Now I'm on YouTube. Now I'm on KYH Radio. Let's see how far we can go with this. If you like this content, please share it. If you have good tips, if you have good suggestions for the show, things that you would like to hear about, things historically based that you would like to hear about, send it to me. I'll review it. If it's good enough, we'll talk about it. You know, not to say any of the information that you guys are giving me is bad, but I already have weeks of stuff laid out. But if it's good enough, I'll actually stop what I'm doing and read over what you're talking about, and then I'll bring it up in the show. Friday, we're going to have Steve Quell on. We're going to talk about Russia, Ukraine, and all this other crazy nonsense that's happening around the world. So that's going to be a fun show. Please tune in for that. And starting next Friday, we are going to be having the comment hour. So for all your questions, and I'm already getting some of them, they're very good questions. If you have questions that you want me to answer personally over the radio, I'll do my research into them so that I can give you a proper, well thought out response. That's going to be for Friday, so that should be, you know, a little bit of entertainment there for you. So before we get on to anything else, we need to read about the Omnibus Bill. Now, we know that within the government, the best thing that our politicians do is spend our money. They don't do much of anything else, but they love to spend our money. But I've been on this big kick. Been on this big kick lately about the whole Red Dawn scenario. And I think I'm going to go ahead and finalize it now and just tell you my overall thoughts. Can the scenario of Red Dawn ever be actually applied to the United States? Yes. Can the United States be invaded by outside forces? Yes. Can they be successful? Yes. What is the Achilles heel of the United States? Our power grid. It is the glass jaw of our power grid, or of our country, is our power grid. And it's a very fractured, splintered together apparatus. We continue to give money to other countries, but we don't harden our own grid. We continue to point out all these different things happening around the world, but we don't secure our own borders. So anything that can make it across the border can come into the country. Nukes, terrorists, human trafficking, obviously, bioweapons, you know, improvised explosive devices, all different types of terroristic materials and terrorists, cartels. Anything can come across that border or under it or into the ports or from Canada and our northern border. We're not as secured as they make you believe that we are. And the people who know that best are the good men and women at the Department of Homeland Security, at the Customs and Border Patrol. They know how secured we are, and they also know how secured we aren't. I'm going to tell you right now, anything can come across that border. Anything. We are not as secured as we like to think we are. And there are already probably things pre-positioned within this country that terrorists, threat actors, could grab a hold of and then use to, you know, harm Americans. It's already here. But even worse than that are the politicians who have sold us out to our enemies, to Iran, to China, to Venezuela, to Turkey, to Ukraine, to Russia, you name it. Our politicians are bought and sold and traded like they're a stock on a stock market. And companies, corporations, and nations invest into our U.S. politicians like us, like their stocks. And whoever invests the most owns the most for that politician. And you will always see at the end of the day who that politician is willing to lobby for and to protect. And you'll know it by who funds them. China funds most of them. And because China funds most of them, I'm going to go ahead and say this. I don't fear Russians coming into the United States alone. I don't fear the North Koreans coming into the United States, period. I fear the Chinese coming into the United States, but not the way that we're told. I don't see them paratrooping in and taking over cities. I see them being welcomed in, not as invaders, but as restorers and stabilizers to an element of chaos that is happening in the country. If there is a nationwide blackout, people are dying, hurt, hungry, alone, lost kids, lost parents, lost loved ones. It's small wars are happening all over the country because if there's no power, there's no law enforcement, that means there's no law and anyone can do whatever they want. And then you have the United Nations being led by China, who says they want to be the New World Order. They want to lead the world now. I guess you could say that is what I see coming, and that's what I see as the Red Dawn. I think Russia has always been painted as the boogeyman. I'm not a Russian apologist, but I'm also not a Russophile. I think Putin is not the greatest guy in the world, but I'll take Putin over Xi Jinping. That's my personal opinion on it. You know, I welcome any politician to come on this show and to debate me on Red Dawn. I welcome any politician to come on this show and to debate me about our ties into China and how it's not eventually going to lead to a Red Dawn. Because if we piss off the wrong people in the world, they will take the United States down because we become a global threat, not to the people of the world, but to the powers and principalities of the world. Now, there are powers and principalities of the United States, but we also have something that most of the world does not have and is in fear of, and that's the most amount of freedom. Because we have the most amount of freedom, we're the most knowledgeable people in the world when it comes to politics. We really are. You know, there are plenty of dumb people in the United States, but even then, the average American, if they choose to be, are more informed than the average person living in the Amazon or in the Andes Mountains or, you know, in Mexico, out in Sri Lanka. All these little third world nations all around the world, and many of them don't have the infrastructure for communication as we do. And there are many nations that are ruled by dictators who don't allow certain information from the internet to go through, like North Korea, China, Russia. So we are well informed, and because we're well informed, we're well involved in our politics. We don't leave our politicians out on their own so they can do whatever the hell they want. We keep them in check and we harass them. Consistently, we harass them. And it's good for them to be harassed. Let them know every now and then that we are paying attention to them. But our politicians are beyond our control now. And because of that, I can see in the future, this is my take of Red Dawn. We piss off the wrong people. We almost start a war, world war. And then, for our own good, the power is taken down, our economy is taken down, a regime change happens in America. The United Nations and NATO then turns on America, comes against us, to stabilize us, and from there, well, you know how it all plays out. America is now taken off the world stage. America will look like Ukraine, Iraq, or Libya, or Afghanistan, or Syria. And because we're such a large nation, there will be permanent bases put around probably Mexico and Canada to turn America into a giant neutral zone where everyone gets to share all of the bounties that are America. Our breadbasket, our minerals, our oil, our men and women who will probably be bought and sold into slavery, our factories, our refineries. It'll all be carved up and it'll all be used for the rest of the world, and we won't be a problem anymore. The problem for them will then be the generations of guerrilla warfare. They have to do something about our military, and you know, that is on the way of being done. There are some things being done in the military right now that needs to be talked about. And it's a little shocking to me. Gosh, I can't find the article. But recently there's been over 80 deaths at Fort Bragg in South Carolina, an army base. 30% of those, if I'm correct, are documented as suicidal. The rest are unknown or undisclosed. Could that be because of the vaccine? In 2020, the vaccine was mandated to all servicemen. And to this date, 90% of the military is vaccinated. Now, there's only been a handful of deaths recently in, you know, Afghanistan or in Syria or other theaters, but over 80 deaths just on one army base. And that's where special operations are. That's where special forces are. Special operations being the Rangers, and then special forces Green Berets. I think one of the airborne units are out there as well. That's disturbing. And if we're not told what is happening, then I have to speculate that men and women in uniform, as I mentioned this, what, yesterday or a couple of days ago, are dying because of the shot, and the military is going to hide it. And this is the right people in the military right now to hide that. We have the right corrupt government now to hide this. And I think something that we need to pay attention to is that with the wrong right people, or the right wrong people in charge, anything can happen. Now, if we push Russia too far, if we find ourselves walking into NATO, or NATO walking into Ukraine, Russia could force the dead hand. Dead hand, also known as perimeter, is a Cold War era automatic nuclear weapons controlled system that was used by the Soviet Union. The system remains in use in the post-Soviet Russian Federation. An example of fail deadly and mutually assured destruction deterrence, it can automatically trigger the launch of the Russian intercontinental ballistic missiles by sending a pre-entered highest authority order from the General Staff of the Armed Forces, Strategic Missile Force Management, to command posts and individual silos if a nuclear strike is detected by seismic, light, radioactivity, and pressure sensors, even with the commanding elements fully destroyed. By most accounts, it is normally switched off, and it is supposed to be activated during times of crisis. However, it is said to remain fully functional and able to serve its purpose whenever it may be needed. Whenever it may be needed. That's a bad day for everybody when nukes start to fall out of the sky. And I think that we may be very close to that. I don't want to see it. I don't want any of us to see it or experience it. But it's something we need to prepare for. You need to prepare adequately. By tonight, I'll have a video posted on the YouTube channel, which is an hour and a half long video, so it can't be on here. These are only hour long video or hour long podcasts. But the video will be on the YouTube channel. It'll be more or less talking about Ukraine and Russia and nukes and what happens if a nuke hits the United States and the different types of precautions to take. Me and Bob Griswold did that. So that should be loaded by tonight. Had a little bit of technical problems there. That's the only reason why it hasn't been loaded, but I should have that remedied by today. Now, here's another thing when we talk about Red Dawn. Expect a conscripted army within the United States in support of NATO or China or Russia, whoever the allies are of them. They will be coming into the United States requesting volunteer forces of reserves or extra security, extra police. And people will come out of the woodwork to volunteer for that. Probably more than you think. There'll probably be a lot of politicians who will be put in charge of different aspects of that. You just got to ask yourself, what have the politicians been promised to be able to sell their oath to the Constitution up the river? Have they been promised riches and mansions? Have they been promised a seat at the table after the destruction of the United States government? That's my possibilities. Everything else that happens from there really is irrelevant, because the cities, as Joe Biden wants by 2035, during these times, will be the only places generating enough power to provide power to homes. So that means that metropolitan cities will be where most people flock to for food or, the expenses that they need. All of us out here in the sticks will be left to serve our own. We'll probably be conscripted into having our gardens and our ranches forcefully converted to feed the masses of people in the major metropolitan cities. That's what I see. I see Red Dawn as a form of the civil war that will happen either before or during. Somewhere along that, if the nations of the world are invading the United States, then we have world war. You know, a lot of these things, they follow one another very fast. Sometimes there's not a great depth to them. They don't last for very long because they don't have to last for very long. Protracted wars are costly. Regime changes aren't. Regime changes are costly to the people, but not to the people invested in the country. And that's what you got to understand, is that China and a lot of these other countries, they are invested billions and trillions into the United States, into politicians, into the media, into Hollywood, into the music industry, the gun industry, the ammo industry, the whatever you could think of. Just look at how many different things in your house is made in China and tell me China doesn't own us. For a lot of the stuff that I try to buy made in America. I know for a fact that most of my tactical gear that I have, I try to get made in America. Though some of the best guns are made in Germany still. That's all my Sig Sauers that I have. Rifles, by the way, not pistols. I still have a Glock, an Austrian. So, that's the way I see these things happening. During Red Dawn, communications are going to be completely wiped out. You're not going to be able to communicate with people. Not effectively. Not until those communications are then put back online, which will probably then be heavily mutilated and monitored and suppressed. At that point in time, much like what happened during ancient Rome, every city or every town would probably have a military detachment that will garrison itself into that area, which is where the volunteer conscripted army would come from. They would join these garrisons. And that would be your police. I firmly believe that Agenda 2030, Red Dawn, all these things are eventually going to happen. I believe that law enforcement, the police as we know it, will be abolished. And it will be replaced by something much more sinister. And at that point in time, you probably won't have constitutional rights anymore. If they destroy Washington, the only constitutional rights you'll have will be the ones that you fight for. But when the rest of the world walks in and says, we own this place now, you're going to do what they say. Or you're going to be a part of their problem, and their solution to that problem will be a military response. And for every parent out there, you have to consider that. I'm not saying capitulation, I'm saying that's a reality. That's my version, anyways. So, I don't like what's happening with this whole Russia-Ukraine thing. Every day, there's a new scandal. Every day, we learn less about the damages from the vaccines. We hear less from Hillary. We hear less from all the Epstein cases. We hear less about the election fraud. You don't even hear about the 2020 election fraud anymore. I've said this before, I'll say it again. When the Democrats are in trouble, when these politicians are in trouble, they will stage a war to get you to not look at them anymore and to pay attention to this other shiny object. When they're in trouble, their solution is war. War, plague, famine, death and destruction, an economic downturn. They have so many different arrows in their quiver that they can shoot at us. The only thing that we can do, Christians, is endure as Jesus commanded us. Get right with God. Get in shape. Keep training. Don't you ever stop training. Something I'm going to start saying every day. And eventually, if I'm allowed to, I'm going to have a training regimen, hopefully. But this is my quote for you. Get off of your excuse and get to work. Get off of your excuse and get in shape. Get off of your excuse and start saving for what's eventually going to happen to this country. That's prepping for food. That's buying the right tools and equipment that you need to survive. Prepping your children. Prepping your soul. Get off your excuse and do it. Stop giving yourself excuses every day for why you don't do it. It's free to drop down to the floor and to do push-ups until you can't. It is free to go outside and to run or walk for an hour. If you can run for an hour straight, you are way better than me. It is completely free to make yourself get in the dirt and do some bear crawls and learn what it means to have a little bit of suffering and pain. You need to know these things, because when you're put to the test during that time, that hour, you need to know what your body can do and what you can tolerate and not tolerate. Because then you'll know to the extreme level of where you can go beyond that. Christians, we need to be ready for anything, especially for the coming back of our Lord. So spread the good news. Tell people that Jesus is coming back. Tell Joe Biden, let's go Brandon. And I'll see you tomorrow. Everyone, this is American Vindicta. I'm Doug Thornton. Thank you very much for listening. I'm out. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.